Chapter 76. Yasna, 17. The men found out about the impending battle at Kolinar, of course, and it gave them the apprehensive excitement of an untested force. They understood that by the next evening they would be lamenting injuries and deaths, yet for the moment such things were only possibilities, odds of thrown chips, the turn of a numerologist's soothsaying glyph ward. Until the battle began, the men could imagine honor and excitement, victories won and bravery proven. Yasna was more pragmatic. Not only was she naturally that way, but she had much experience, thanks to her brother and father, with warfare. She knew both losses and victories, and understood that the two often felt hauntingly similar. Men would die at her command. True, many of them knew exactly what they were doing, and Eazer's force, while untested in large-scale battle, had the mindset of a mercenary force. Many of the other men, however, were more idealistic. They had come not truly at her beck, but at the call of the man they thought, a herald. A man Yasna feared would fail them. Yasna watched Taln as the army went about its morning preparations, getting ready to march the short distance to Kolinar and spring her trap upon the Vaden's camp there. Taln had barely spoken to her over the last 3 days, and when he met her eyes, she saw the confused pain therein. He confronted his own insanity, and he did it for her. She wasn't certain what brought her more shame, the knowledge that he suffered so for her sake, or the worry that asking him to question himself would destroy her army. She still needed him at its head. While traveling from Rimac, they had gathered even more followers. News of Lord Aniezer's acceptance of the herald Talonel had provided vast credibility to her claims, for he had been the man to squash the last 3 false herald uprisings. The herald section was now just as large as Aniezer's section of the force. It had nearly 3,500 people, many gathered from Aniezer's own villages and by his suggestion. These men followed Taln, not her or Meridas. Without the banner of heraldship, there was a good chance they would not fight. She knew she shouldn't consider such things. She had confronted Taln for his own good, yet she worried. What if he did overcome his hallucinations? He would probably denounce himself before the army, and in doing so, destroy it as surely as an enemy ambush. She would never be able to take Kolinar with just Aniezer's forces. A part of her didn't care. That part, indignant that she would put her own lies before Taln's well-being, wished desperately for him to admit he was no herald, for it would remove the great barrier of delusion that kept them apart. Yet the voice that whispered such things was the same underdeveloped piece of her that had always warned her not to manipulate others. She had always quieted it in the name of a better, more dominant good. What was the betrayal of a minor court ally if it gained her the knowledge she needed to protect the crown? What was the death of one squad of soldiers on a battlefield when their unwitting sacrifice protected a 10-squad others? What was the mind of one man when compared to the cohesion of a vital fighting force? That was the guilt she bore. It was not helped by seeing what she had done to him already. Where he had once stared forward with firm confidence, he now looked down in uncertainty. Where he had once declared, he now remained quiet. With misery, she realized that his stubborn self-confidence, the thing that had frustrated her so often, was also the very thing that had made Taln so compelling to her. Seeing him lost and indecisive was painful enough to make her wince whenever he looked her direction. What right did she have to ask him to change? Who was she to make such a demand, especially when she followed it with only the hint of a promise? He saw himself as the holy protector of an entire world, and she had asked him to give that up for her. She sighed, stretching and standing to the side as a group of soldiers dismantled her tent. Though Eniezer had purchased her a relatively nice tala in one of the towns they had passed, for now she wore trousers and one of her tough sea-silk sen coats. It was odd how quickly she had grown to prefer the loose, comfortable clothing. When she had tried on the tala, she had found herself trying to walk with a full stride and had nearly tripped in surprise. The constrictive dress had made her feel short of breath and trapped, as if she were bound in tight ropes. She would have to grow accustomed to talas again, eventually, but for now she could maintain that wearing her sensible clothing was necessary, lest she ruin her only luxurious outfit. As she waited, she saw Meridas and Eniezer leave the command tent and allowed herself a moment of seething frustration. Meridas was still firm in his declarations that a woman did not belong in the command tent, though they had adopted her plan for attacking the Vaden force, and even came to her for suggestions on strategy. They forbade her entrance into the daily planning meetings. While most of the things they discussed were minor issues, it was annoying to be left out. Besides, she knew more than they did. While the men had heard recitations from the great and historic strategic works, she had actually read the books, and there was a difference, especially since she had read not only the dictations by the generals, but the often more enlightening comments added by their wives and daughters in the justification. Meridas bid Eniezer farewell, saying something in a low, almost suspicious voice before parting. Yasna thinned her eyes, watching the two go about their morning duties. Their allegiance was another item of great concern. She trusted Meridas about as much as she trusted the winds not to blow, and Eniezer's reputation was proof enough of his nature. Both men would do what best gained them power, and there was little she could do to check them. She had worked to build Tal'n's reputation and therefore power among Eniezer's troops, and she had encouraged her guards to make friends with those in Eniezer's personal bodyguard. Her resources were unfortunately very limited. Meridas noticed her watching, and unfortunately decided to stroll her direction. He barked a few orders at attendants, sending the men to do his will, and approached her alone. "Lady Yasna," he said with a panderer's smile, "I had hoped you would wear Lord Eniezer's gift this day, since we might enter Kolinar by nightfall. It wouldn't do for the court to see you dressed so, lest they mistake you for a stable boy."
"I shall change once we obtain victory, Lord Meridas," Yasna replied flatly.
"Of course," he said, glancing around. "I don't see our resident deity nearby. What shall you do without him to amuse you?"
Yasna didn't reply, instead folding her arms and adopting an icy glare.
"Of course," Meridas noted, looking back at her with eyes hiding a violent jealousy. "There will be another high storm tomorrow morning. The two of you can just run off then and amuse yourselves."
Yasna started. "That night, on the highlands, you were seen asking after him, then left your guards and went to find him alone. There would have been talk. Of course Meridas knows about it."
"I thought I told you to be discreet," Meridas said in a low voice.
"I was worried, so I went to see where he was," Yasna said. "Nothing more."
"Of course," Meridas said.
She gritted her teeth, hissing slightly.
"Go," she snapped, pointing. "Leave me."
His eyes flashed with anger, and he looked at her with satisfaction. Yasna paused,
pushing aside her feelings of revulsion. There was something in his eyes, something he probably didn't mean to reveal.
"No matter," Meridas said. "This will be over soon, anyway."
He stalked away, leaving her feelings somehow soiled by the entire conversation. Yasna stood for a moment, forcing herself to focus on the oddity she had sensed in his words. "Kemnar?" she requested.
"I am here," he said,
stepping forward from his almost unnoticed position beside the working tent soldiers. Having him back was such a wind-blessed relief that she had stopped worrying about releasing him from service. She needed him too much, for the moment at least. "Meridas is planning something," Yasna said.
"Of course he is,"
Kemnar said. "Something specific," she said. "I need to know what it is. I need a list of any commands he and Aniazar have contrived in their planning councils over the last 3 days. Take Lan to scribe for you, and ask around. I need to know any changes they've made to the army's structure or orders, no matter how insignificant. And I need to know them before we attack this afternoon."
"Yes, my lady,"
Kemnar said, already moving to do as she bid. This time, it felt different. She would have thought that war would be familiar to her by now. Her first tastes of battle had come during her childhood, when her father and his brothers had fought against Jarna the Tyrant. By then, Jarna had already conquered most of Roshar. His mysterious allegiance with the Shin clans had allowed him to roll across the Second Peninsula like a raging high storm. Once Davar, Vaidenal, and Prala had fallen, Alethkar had found itself threatened from both the south and the east. This she knew from the histories. Her memories of those days were different. Memories highlighted by the emotions she had seen on her father's stout face. Fear, confusion, and worry. Every nation on Roshar, even the island kingdom of Thelena, had fallen to Jarna's conquering. What hope did Alethkar have? But then Dalinar had slain the tyrant himself in single combat. Jarna's empire had fallen upon itself. Several of his generals had tried to lead the armies, but fracturing and rebellion had turned them against one another. Yasna's first true experiences with war hadn't come for another several years. Those days, once Jarna's armies had been defeated, her father had sought to re-establish Alethkar's historic boundaries. She had been young during the first Prala Wars, not even 18, but her father had quickly realized his daughter's tactical ability. Never a man who had cared much for propriety, Nolor Naren had used her from that day onward. It had been a simple matter for her to transfer that service to Elokar when he took his war of justice to the Prelir Highlands. Why should this battle feel so different from the others? She sat nervously in her saddle, waiting as the runners did one final scout of the enemy camp. The unfamiliar horse shuffled beneath her, and Yasna wished for a litter, for she had little experience with riding. The army waited with barely contained vigor. Perhaps that was the reason for her unsettlement. Before, her strategies had always been given at others' behest. They had been the ones venturing men's lives, and ultimately the guilt of failure had been theirs to bear. That was it. She had gathered these men, and for the first time, the responsibility of their lives was hers. Meridas insisted on controlling battle command, and Talns was the banner under which they rode. But they were Yasna's men. They would die because she had brought them here. Her horse stirred, and a sudden touch on her leg made her jump. She looked down to find Kemnar and Brother Lan standing beside her. Had she been that distracted?
"I'm sorry it took us so long, Lady Yasna," Kemnar said,
nodding for Lan to produce a sheet of paper, scribbled with lines of text.
"But here it is, a list of the commands Meridas and Aniazar made over the last few days.
with the more unusual ones listed at the top. Jasna took the proffered sheet, noting the spear Lon carried in his other hand. She held up the sheet, scanning the list as she spoke. "Brother Lon, you are not to take part in the battle."
"Excuse me?" the monk asked.
"You will withdraw to the command tent," Jasna said. "You are one of a few people in this force who can read, and I am not going to let you die on that battlefield."
Lon glanced away with bitter eyes. "Well," he said, "my streak for proving myself useless continues unabated. Thank you, my lady. One wouldn't wish to break such a delightful streak of laziness. I suppose I'll go find a place to nap while everyone else dies."
"You have too much knowledge and training, Lon," Jasna said. "Regardless of your newfound desire to be heroic, you cannot be risked. Do as I command." Lon sighed, then stalked off. For the first time, Jasna remarked on how young he was. Barely 20, if that old. His monk's robes, mixed with his strange ability to see to the truth of a person's soul, made him seem far older. Kemnar bowed and retreated to the battle preparations. Jasna let them both leave, turning to scan the list they had worked to prepare. What had she expected to find? There had to be some clue to Meridas's plans, manifest in his orders. Whatever his schemes, he could hardly actuate them without giving commands. Most of the list was unremarkable. Squads had been assigned to separate camp duties. Changes had been made in personnel groupings to better mix the untrained with the skilled. Men had been sent to hunt for food supplies to supplement what the Awakener created. Meridas had made orders as to how the tents were to be arranged and who was to pack them each day. Once again, Jasna remarked on what she had noticed so long ago. When Meridas had first taken command of that first 100 men from Markabe, he had displayed far more knowledge about the workings of an army than a simple merchant should possess. There wasn't much on the list that was of any interest. She almost tossed it away before she made the connection. Meridas had made many orders about troop locations for the upcoming battle, obviously intentioned on placing Eniazar's better-trained soldiers in key positions. One of those changes, though unremarkable at first glance, suddenly gave her a chill of realization. Meridas had replaced Talm's inexperienced honor guard with men from Aniazer's own personal guard. Jasna recognized some of the names as Aniazer's most loyal and well-trained soldiers. Ostensibly, it was a sign of respect for Talm, putting the herald under the protection of the finest soldiers in the army. Jasna saw the truth. She remembered vividly the jealousy in Meridas's eyes and his conspiratory familiarity with Aniazar. Talm would not survive the battle. "I have to warn him."
Thankful for an excuse to leave the horse behind, Jasna slid out of her saddle and went looking for the madman. She found him sitting alone, close to the front of the army, yet somehow apart from them. He looked up when she approached, and she could see something in his eyes. Resolve. For ill or gain, he had made his decision. A sudden panic struck her. She had hoped that he would wait, at least until the battle was over, to decide. Now she realized that was not possible. He had delayed as long as his conscience would allow, but the scouts would return within the hour. After that, it was to battle, and he would either stay with certainty in his heraldship or go with his madness honestly declared. If he did expose himself, the men would have to ride into battle with an uncertain morale, having just listened to their leader swear himself a madman. He could yet destroy their army before the enemy had a chance to strike. Talm's eyes were grim.
Was that because he had finally realized the depth of his fantasies? Or, instead, was it because he knew she would be disappointed in his decision to remain a herald? Yasna wished sharply that she had never brought this decision before him. She paused a short distance from his stone perch, and he stood. He still refused to wear plate, though he bore his shard blade in a calm grip. He had traded his noble sea-silk cloak for the simple brown one he had been given in the monastery. What did that mean? "You are in danger," she said quickly. "Meridas has replaced your honor guard. I'm afraid he intends you to suffer an accident on the battlefield."
Tom snorted. "Meridas is the least of my problems at the moment," he said, waving his hand dismissively.
He stood quietly for a moment, eyes distracted. Then he looked right at her, eyes decisive.
He began, but didn't get beyond that first word before Yasna interrupted.
"Don't speak," she pled. "I don't want to hear what you have decided."
Tom paused. Then he frowned.
"What game do you play, woman?"
"No game," Yasna promised. Oh, Tom, I had no right to ask you to betray yourself. This is who you are. Even if your memories are false, they are what give you life."
"Perhaps you had no right to ask the question," Tom said. "But you certainly have no right to make the decision for me, Yasna. Let me speak my piece."
"I can't," Yasna said. "It's not a decision you should have to make. At least give it more thought."
"I have put it off long enough," Tom said with a shake of his head.
He looked down at her with those solemn brown eyes of his.
"You realize that, either way, I cannot lead this army any longer. As a herald, I must leave you here. As a man, I must step down from my position of lies. Either way, I will not ride to battle at the head of the herald's army."
And without him, it would fall. Even as he spoke, a plan occurred to Yasna, though she cursed herself for it. "Must everything be a deal to you, Yasna?" She had told him yes, and for once she had spoken with complete honesty. "Those aren't the only two options, Tom," she said. "As a herald, you could ride with us, then reap the benefits of a befriended nation." Tom shook his head.
"That is what you offered before, but it isn't enough. I would need more than just a friendly kingdom, Yasna. I would need a nation that believed in me."
"And you would have it," Yasna said. "I vow to you, Talonel, help me fight off the invaders that threaten my kingdom, and I will see that you have whatever resources you need. I will profess you a herald with my loudest voice, and build you allies amongst the courts of Roshar. You say the Storm Shades will come in 1 year. I give my oath that when this invasion is repelled and Alethkar is safe, our nation will prepare for the return as if what you say were true. We will train our armies as you prescribe. We will stockpile and plan. We will listen to your preachings and we will obey. If your demons do attack Roshar, then they will at least find one kingdom ready for them." Tom listened to the speech, the confusion in his eyes shining again. His frown deepened.
"Your king would honor this vow?"
"I don't know," she confessed. "But my uncle, Lord Dalinar Colin, will. Even if he doesn't hold the crown when we return, he is a powerful man, even more powerful than my brother." "You'd like him, Tom. He's a lot like you. A little stuffy and incorrigibly proper, but honest and good. I promise you, he will honor my vow."
Tom fell silent, considering. His grip on the shard blade tightened unconsciously.
"You have a sure talent, Yasna. Whenever I think I see clearly, you can make smoke
to dim my understanding.
Smoke. Onyx.
He looked into her eyes.
Do you always get what you wish?
Usually, Jasnah admitted. Though I have often regretted wanting the wrong things, especially recently.
A herald cannot be a man, Jasnah,
he said quietly.
If this is who I am to be, then I will live it as best I can. No more questioning. I will be a herald, and you must understand what that means. Heralds are above the regular concerns of men.
I understand, Jasnah replied softly, trying to keep things from breaking inside. She had to remain strong. I would rather know you as Talanel the Herald than be with you as Taln the Broken Madman.
Their eyes locked and lingered, something unspoken passing between them. She would never know his answer. She would never know whether or not he had been willing to give up everything he was in order to be with her. With shame, she admitted that she would also never truly know whether she had forbidden him to decide for his own good or simply because she wanted to keep the army together.
Taln dropped to one knee, driving his blade into the rock. He bowed his head before her in an oddly humbling gesture.
Thank you,
he whispered. Then he stood, strong-backed and sure again, Talanel the steadfast, a herald determined to protect Roshar from the demons of its mystic past.
Jasnah watched him go, something unacknowledged crumbling within her. If only she could do as he did, abandon reason in favor of fantasy. What would it be like to ignore the harsh truths of the world, replacing them with beliefs far more palatable? But she could not. Whatever it was within her that placed logic over fancy and truth over delusion was also the thing that gave her strength. She would rather find success in the real world than have all the pretend treasures of Taln's false one.
It's gone, she realized, somewhat stunned. It's over. I never deserved him anyway.
And she knew then what she had to do. Distasteful, yes, but necessary. Someone had to be practical, even if practicality brought pain. She was accustomed to that. She found Meridas going over his battle orders with Aniezer and some of their officers. Kemnar was there, as were all the shard bearers. This was not a time for political bickering, and even Meridas could see that. Jasnah stood quietly, close enough to be noticed, but not close enough to be intrusive. She watched Meridas with a calm look, catching his eyes. A few moments later, he excused himself to walk over to her. When he arrived, his eyes were curious, and he spoke no insults. He obviously sensed a change in her.
Yes?
He asked quietly.
You plan to have Taln killed, Jasnah said calmly. Do not try to deny it. You replaced his honor guard, and I see the hatred in your eyes when you see him. You loathe that this is his army, and you hate how he looks at me. Meridas's eyes thinned.
You wish me to return his honor guard to the way it was before?
It would do little good, Jasnah said. You are a resourceful man, Meridas. I do not doubt that you will find a way to remove Taln sooner or later. I do wonder how you intend to keep the army together without him, however.
Meridas raised an eyebrow.
You overestimate his worth, my dear. If our illustrious herald were to fall to an enemy blade today, the army would not suffer grievously. We need him at the beginning of the battle, true, lest the men break during the initial assault. However, once the battle is through, we will have the resources of Kolinar. That means pay for the men and promises of titles for the officers.
I think you will find that worldly rewards will replace spiritual ones quite nicely for the great percentage of the troops. Yasna frowned.
It appears that we have need to deal. The madman must live. The cost matters not, Meridas, as long as you see that he is not harmed.
Meridas snorted, eyes flashing with jealousy.
What? He demanded in a quiet hiss. I am to make certain your lover remains, so that you can bed him behind my back? You would marry me, true, but only to make a fool of me before the court.
Yasna regarded him flatly. Taln is bound by an honor beyond what you can understand, Meridas, she said. He would do no such thing. You have my oath of honor. He calmed, eyeing her distrustfully. Yet there was enough decency in him not to question her word.
You wish an accord? He asked.
Very well. You have only one thing to offer. It will happen in Kolinar this evening, after we defeat the enemy force. No more complaints, no more evasions, and no more deals. You are far too proficient at promising the same thing over and over for greater rewards. This evening, we will wed.
Agreed, Yasna said, feeling a coldness within.
I will take your hand, Meridas, but there shall be no heirs until this war is finished, with Taln still alive.
Meridas's expression darkened. Very well, but I add my own stipulations. First, I will be free of my oath. No more obedience to your commands. Second, should the madman die from actions beyond my control, you will provide an heir once the war is through.
I am to trust his life? To your generosity? Yasna asked.
You are to trust it to my word, Meridas spat. I will not kill your beloved, Yasna. As long as you don't make a fool of me in court, I care nothing for his life. Warfare, however, is unpredictable, as you well know. I will not have my future dependent upon a madman's ability to keep himself from harm. I will see that he is protected as best I can. Should something unforeseen happen, however, well, you are a woman of great resources. I'm certain you will be able to determine that I had nothing to do with the death. I give my oath that he will not die by my hand or intention. I will give my allies the same command.
He would offer no more. Yasna closed her eyes and nodded. When she opened them, Meridas bowed slightly, then returned to his plannings.